So the idea behind WordCamp is mostly to sort of set the tone, behind the San Francisco WordCamp, to set the tone for the following year. It's sort of a nice milestone. Like, you know, on New Year's, you make all the resolutions and stuff, and you say, this is what I'm going to do, and this is what I didn't do, and it sort of gives you time to take a step back and reflect. So this is sort of, as the WordPress community, our time to take a step back and reflect. And putting together the conference, I did my best to sort of curate it in a way that exposed you guys to the ideas that I've been most excited about the past year and the coming year. And conversely, this is your chance to connect with, you know, I think we have 90% of the WordPress developers here today. We have myself, lots of automatic employees, lots of folks at Genius Bar all day. It's your chance to sort of connect on a personal level with the people building the software and for them to connect with you. Because ultimately, WordPress is 100% user-driven. So it's what you guys want is what we do. We try our best, at least. So that's pretty much the intro for this morning. Our first presentation is going to be Alan. And he will be talking about the future of education and WordPress. So let's give him a round of applause.
Thanks a lot. Can you hear me okay? How y'all doing this morning? It's a big room. They put me on first. I don't know why. But I'm a blogger, so I need something for my blog. So can everybody wave? Oh, wait, one more. Somebody wasn't smiling. Okay. And also, just so you know, also because I'm a blogger, I'm going to podcast this. So I'm recording. Do I have everybody's permission? Is that okay? Can you yell out, like, hello from WordCamp? Come on.
Hello!
That's kind of weak. You guys must be hungover or something. Okay. Matt said I was going to talk about the future of education. I don't think I will. I'm going to sort of hint at it. Is that okay? How many people went to school? Okay. How many people had the internet in school? Like elementary school? Elementary school, you had the internet. Awesome. That's a whole generation. The internet's changed everything with that. So everything I'm going to show you, the first URL, I've got all my slides because there's, I have about 100, so I'm not going to be able to talk about them all in 20 minutes. But they're all in Flickr. And the second one is a link to a Wikispaces site where I actually have all the links to the sites I'm going to talk about. So I'm just showing you screenshots. So I have been on the internet, or I've been on the web, since October 27th, 1993, at about 10:30 in the morning. And I don't think I've stopped since then. And I've had this blog since 2003. Ask me later about the story for the name. I think it's cute. But the powerful thing about blogging is it's about the most important subject, everybody's favorite subject, right? Me, okay? So this is my blog, and I blog about educational technology and works, things I'm doing on. I tend to use these dog metaphors, so I have a post here about tags versus, not categories, but dogagories. That's another story. I have to admit, I am a recovering movable type user. Okay, I thought that would get a laugh of some sort. My first blog was movable type, and my recovery took about 10 minutes, which is how long it took to install WordPress and import all my entries, and I never looked back. I'd like to claim that I was actually blogging back in 2000. I had this sabbatical, which is kind of edu-speak for a paid six-month vacation. Very cool. And I traveled in 2 months in New Zealand, 2 months in Australia, and every day I posted what I did. I linked to things. I have pictures posting. I was blogging, but there's a relevance here. I was doing this all by hand-coded HTML because I like writing HTML. I like code. But teachers don't do this kind of stuff, okay? It's kind of hard, and you have to learn all these arcane syntax, and you have to FTP things. And for educators now, what blogging does enables them to sort of bypass all the technical hurdles, well, most of them, and not have to worry about the formatting and the mechanics of it and focus on their content. But back in the 90s, I was teaching a lot of people HTML, and you found a lot of web pages like this, the Butt Ugly. Anybody seen Butt Ugly? It's kind of funny. It's like the worst thing to do in web design, and it's all a joke. But if you go out there on the net, there's still these old gray pages with frame tables, etc., and a lot of them are some, you know, old educational pages, some of them probably even mine. My day job, I work for an organization called New Media Consortium, and we're a membership organization of about 300 colleges, universities, people using media. I run this website, and again, another admission, don't throw things at me. This is in Drupal, and there's a reason for it. I have about six other project websites that I run in WordPress, and if I had my way, I would probably do everything in WordPress. I really like to talk about sort of my strategy, and maybe that's a Genius Bar thing or corner me later, but I do a lot of things where I basically figure out what I need a website to do. None of my sites are actually blogs. They're a little bit blog-like, but they're actually more like project websites and website. WordPress is the engine which makes it run, so I like ripping apart templates and inserting custom code and MySQL queries to make it do what I need to do. That site actually started out as the old Blix template, which used to be like one of the primary basic templates on WordPress. Another site I did, I learned a little bit more advanced things, did some funky things with custom tags, custom fields to generate dynamic content. Again, I'm not going to talk about that, but that was the original theme there. I like ripping apart themes. And this one, which I've documented completely, has about 10 different individual customizations on the front page. I learned a lot about WordPress by digging around the code. And it's actually based on Brian Gardner. Is he here? I saw him. This is an awesome template, man. I got to thank you. This is one of the best templates I look at a lot of templates when I'm figuring out a site, and you know they look nice, and then you get the templates, and some of them are just really shit code. I mean, they're sloppy, they're messy to work with. Brian's templates are clean, and I instigated my friend at Penn State did their website on that. So anyhow, Matt asked me to talk about the future of education in WordPress, and I said, what the hell is that? So I decided I would talk more about sort of what people are doing now and maybe what it hints at the future. Because I really don't know all the educational WordPress sites out there, I did the typical thing. I posted an entry on my blog, and I put some things out on Twitter. And I said, hey, help me. Send me some examples of educational websites that are using WordPress. And I asked people to tag things on Delicious. I got a bunch there, and that link is available. And then I set up a wiki site, which in about a few days grew so long you can't even read it on the screen, where I asked people just to post their links. So I collected them, and that's mainly what I'm going to show you as soon as I finish this intro stuff. But I want to thank my friend James Farmer in Melbourne, Australia, who runs EduBlogs, which is more or less a WordPress.com site for educators. They do free web hosting for educators. And he put a thing on their dashboard, so every EduBlogs user saw that little top thing that says, hey, tag some sites for Alan. So thank you, James, wherever you are. So obviously, it's a big web. We know the technorati curve. Why don't they do this anymore? I mean, they stopped in April 2007. So 100 million probably blogs out there. You know, good 15% are blogs, right? And another 15% maybe are porn. And maybe, I don't know, guess 5% maybe are educational. And 5% of 100 million is a lot of websites. So WordPress.com, you know, almost 4 million, you know, and still growing. A lot of educators use that one. James' site, EduBlogs, is basically a WordPress multi-user site. They almost have 200,000 educational blogs that are created for free by teachers and students around the world. So there's a lot of interesting things that people are doing with multi-user. James also does sort of a campus edition, which is sort of like universities say, we want to host a blogging service for all our students, and he helps set it up for them. Little College, University of Mary Washington in Fredericksburg, Virginia, liberal arts college, they're doing some amazing stuff with WordPress multi-user. They set up an experiment to sort of basically provide WordPress blogs to students and faculty. And in their first semester, they had about 1,500 blogs created and used. And there's maybe 5,000 students at the school. And they're doing some amazing stuff with some syndication and amazing, and probably half my examples come from there, so shout out to my friend Jim Groom there, who's a crazy WordPress developer. University of British Columbia, which is a large university in Vancouver, is getting ready to launch a hosted blog service for their student community. And they have some student developers there that are also doing some amazing custom coding to WordPress to make that happen. Baruch College in New York City hosting blogs. University of Calgary. There's a long list of these. Discovery Education Network, through the Discovery Channel, they have like this national network of teachers using technology for education. All their leaders in like all the states, they set up a blog for them, so they share their resources, what they're doing, and create a whole community out of that. It's a pretty active one. I found this one just because someone sent me a link. There's this a homeschool organization, and they offer free WordPress blogs to people who are homeschool educators. So, you know, if you think about it, people who are teaching their kids at home are probably pretty isolated. And they're trying to figure out different ways to create lesson plans and activities. And what they're doing is they're sharing it, and they're able to sort of, you know, get an idea off of some other homeschool teacher. Another organization in Australia, in Victoria, providing web hosting. My phone's ringing. I think it's my mom. Okay. Anyhow, so some examples. This is for a high school English class. I forget where. And basically they have their students do their research projects on the web. Let's see who this is. Oh, it's my sister. Okay, and so for an example, I just picked one out at random. There's a wiki site that has about 50 of these student blogs. And, you know, this student, they're doing a research on abortion, and they also have another section of their blog for the readings they're going to do. And I like the last part about the blog posts are just things I want to write about, you know. And what happens is people get these assignments for school, and all of a sudden they kind of realize the power of publishing and getting feedback. And they say, well, I might start blogging about other things I'm interested in. This is a student art portfolio at University of Mary Washington. So this person posts examples of their work or what they think about art, et cetera. This is an amazing story. I wish I could do a whole presentation on Al Upton. He teaches these equivalent of third grade kids in Adelaide, Australia. And he did this amazing project where the kids were each doing some blogging and storytelling, et cetera. And he set up this kind of project where he wanted, and he got like clearance from all their parents. He did all the proper things that you want to do when working with little kids, make sure you don't use their names on there, etc. And he set up this project where he wanted, wow, somebody's streaming me. Jeez, that's cool. Hi, I love that. he set up this project where he wanted to pair the kids with like external mentors from other parts of the world who could sort of, you know, review what the kids were posting and give them feedback, because, you know, there's nothing worse than having a blog and not getting comments, right? So, you know, I want to encourage these kids who are writing. And someone in the State Department of Education there got really freaked about this, and they totally clamped down and said, you can't do this. I mean, he had done everything. He got clearance, signatures from all the parents. Everybody understood what they were doing. And they shut down his project for like a year. He got about 300 comments on his blog that people, educators around the world were saying, this is crazy, what can we do about it? So follow the mini legends. He's back now. They have it kind of cleared. He has to post everything. The kids are completely unidentified. There's no pictures, etc. But those things happen a lot in schools, and especially more so in other countries. They have some pretty restrictive access to the internet. One college is basically using WordPress as a platform for students to create portfolios of their work. My friend and colleague Jim Groom, he does a lot of WordPress stuff. This is basically his sort of his miniature CV. I mean, this is a WordPress site, and he's kind of tweaked the template to pull in one post, and it kind of looks like a business card. I kind of like that. At an elementary school in Illinois, different classes are sharing examples of student work and projects and field trips, sort of a showcase for what they're doing. Another school from the same system. I'm not exactly sure what this blog. I kind of randomly surfed some student blogs, and this one is actually it's not like a religious zealot, but this person is very interested in religious studies, and he or she kind of looks at popular culture and kind of identifies or aspects about it that reflect spirituality or Christianity, etc. And rather some interesting reading and some long blog posts. I mean, really well written stuff. This is a fourth grade class in Auckland, New Zealand, more or less, you know, doing little entries for student projects. All over the world right now, teachers are doing projects that tie into the Olympics. And there's some pretty amazing things that people do, sort of using current data as sort of ways to learn math and social studies and cultural things, et cetera. So there's a lot of teachers with blogs. It's a kind of big thing for them to sort of learn the technology and sort of share what they're doing. So Smart History is by Beth Harris and Steve Zuckerman up at one of the SUNY schools, and they do things on art history. Initially, they're doing a lot with podcasting, and now they're doing a lot more with sort of like using WordPress to be an online textbook. This one from Tasmania, more or less, you know, she likes her smart board, okay, and she wants to share with other teachers the way she's using it, et cetera. So that's Mrs. W. Barbara Ganley's got a whole interesting story. She's this amazing teacher from Middlebury College in Vermont, And she's done some of the most creative stuff with having students learn how to use multimedia and the web for their publishing and their research, etc. And she was like this far away from retiring with tenure, and she decided she was really tired of the educational system. So she bailed, and she's basically kind of doing her own startup and doing this whole interesting project with working with small town communities and sort of have introducing them and creating little centers where people can learn how to use Web 2 technology for things that interest them. Elementary school teacher, side of class resources, they love widgets. I mean, some of these are just, I mean, they're almost like bad MySpace in some way, but they love experimenting with widgets, and especially this Voki one, which kind of does these cartoon avatars. They record an audio, and the Voki sort of introduces themselves. It's kind of fun. There's a lot of people who more or less, you know, use WordPress to provide examples of how to use technology or discussing the benefits of it, etc. So there's Fred's technology coach. Larry Ferlazzo is an ESL teacher, and you know, I spend all day kind of looking for interesting web tools I can share, and I get more from other people than I can find myself. So he's pointed me to some amazing multimedia sites, and he publishes websites every day that are some relevance to ESL, etc. Another sort of technology-related one. There's a lot of teachers who are like maybe towards the end of their career, but they're still working, and they've used technology a lot in the classroom, and then they become like specialists for their district. Here's one. You know, she's talking about using all the things with Web 2.0 she can use in her science classes. I think it's probably an elementary school class. Another one for all about approaches for teaching high school science. Another science blog. There's so much you can do with science in the net. This is from I think a high school class where they teach media development, etc. So there's a lot of things about multimedia and Photoshop. Mr. Campman Social Studies, get excited about history. Don't you want to watch that video, maybe? I don't know. I actually didn't get to watch it, so I have to go back and see that one. Mr. Moshe, I mean, this guy, he's got a really interesting setup. He's basically got information. There's a tab there for parents, so it's all things parents need to know about what their kids are doing. He's got sort of a tab there for kids, which are assignments and things he wants interested to the kids. And a lot of these things, this one is hosted on EduBlogs as well. A lot of teachers aren't necessarily supported in their school district for this kind of stuff. So they're actually doing this on their own, like in the evening. Teachers are woefully underpaid, so when that comes up in your area to vote on, please pay them more. An expatriate educator in Asia. This guy became a consultant in Hong Kong and is working with schools there. Another sort of sociology blog. This is another one of these ones about sort of people sharing their expertise in educational technology. Borg's blog. It's almost as unpronounceable as mine, et cetera. Another science blog. This is from an administrator sort of sharing his perspective on issues he has to deal with. Other ones. So, and then there's like blogs or WordPress sites people set up specifically for classes. In this one, it's a poetry class. And what they do is the students have to learn how to read a poem. And reading a poem, I understand, is more than just like getting up there with a sheet of paper and reading the poem. You have to understand it. You have to understand the rhythm, etc. It's like a musical performance. So they record all these 18th century poems, and they post them as podcasts. And then people comment on them, etc., and they discuss the poem. So it's sort of like an 18th century podcast site or radio station. There's a lot of schools that set up these WordPress sites to set up collaboration projects. So, you know, a teacher in Kansas might be doing a project with a school in Sydney, Australia, and they use the blog as sort of a hub for their activities and a way for the two classes to communicate on projects they might do. From Yale, this class in British architecture using WordPress to basically run part of the course site. They have a real interesting link. They have a Google Map link. It's an annotated map. And it's got, you know, pins for all the locations of the architectural places they're discussing. It shows you where they are in Britain. Another one from University of Mary Washington. Again, they're doing some interesting things. Gardner Campbell is a teacher there, and he teaches this sort of class in new media studies and kind of looking at the history of rock and folk music. And all the students in there are running their own blogs. And they set up this class blog using WP-O-Matic, which is a plugin which basically grabs posts from other sites and aggregates them all into one sort of mega blog. So this is a class blog made of other blogs. The interesting thing, I think the backstory is WP-O-Matic is mainly a blog that's used by spammers who go out there and harvest links from other websites and put them on their own blog. And they sort of took a sort of a plugin sort of created for bad purposes and made some good use out of it. So it's about the first thing I heard of good thing coming out of a spammer, maybe. Another K-12 blog, more or less, sort of posting little stories about the work they're doing. A foreign language blog where the students sort of create videos where they sort of practice their pronunciation, and they also try to find videos for the language that they're studying sort of as a resource to learn about it, because it's been a long time since I took French, so don't ask me to say anything, but you know, you learn how to speak in language because it's like classic, you know, French, and then you go to France and no one can understand you because you're talking like a textbook. So if you look at sort of like, you know, videos from pop culture, you can sort of learn a little bit more about how the language is really spoken. Graduate class blog. I forget what that blog is about. Wormbins is a elementary school blog from Australia, and I think they're also doing some assignments. So basically teachers are posting assignments so students know what they're doing, but also parents. So in elementary school, you know, parents want to know what the kids are doing in school, so the blog serves as a really good outlet for teachers to do that. Another part of Smart History I talked about, they're doing an online textbook of art history, and basically they have all these themes laid out, and you know, they're kind of bypassing a traditional textbook. So, which leads me to WordPress use for publishing. This is basically an online journal from an organization in Australia, and they publish like a regular journal, but they do it all online through a WordPress called the Knowledge Tree. It's got some great articles in there. There's sort of this thing a number of educators are doing where they do kind of historical blogging. So as if Orwell was blogging. So they lay out blogs in chronological order. There's another one of Dracula, the whole novel Dracula played out as a blog, which is really an interesting topic to do as an assignment, because you have to research what the author was doing, and you basically write it in the order that his story was going. So, you know, Orwell, you know, had a sort of a chronology to his stories, and they're going to sort of post it as if Orwell was blogging, which is kind of impossible. In my work, I use this thing called Comment Press, which is an amazing template for doing online publishing. If you're interested in the future of education, I'll put a plug in for our Horizon report. This is sort of an emerging technology report we do every year. Comment Press is cool. You know, when you create a blog post, you comment on the whole post, right? Comment Press takes text that you online, and you can attach comments to individual paragraphs, which is really good for people who want to target comments to specific parts of a text. And it's a great platform for online publishing. This is a literary journal that's published from a college in Virginia. So there's poetry in here, there's music, there's graphic arts, and students do the actual creation of this website and the posting of it. It's pretty amazing stuff. A lot of educators do podcasts. This is some from some people at the University of Denver, and they post weekly podcasts on this. You get an RSS feed automatically out of WordPress, which is really good for doing podcasts. There's a lot of information sites. This is for a class studying the Outsiders, and there's a page or a post for each of the chapters, and the students have to go in their right post where they have to define words that are used in the text of this book, and it becomes a resource again for this class assignment. Interesting thing, I mentioned the home learning. I just pulled one example. This is a family in Australia, and they do some amazing assignments where their kids are kind of going out, not in Australia, in Alaska. And sort of they basically use where they live as sort of the topics for the lessons they create for their students. And if you're a homeschooler and you're looking to do a science unit, you know, you can sort of look at what the other homeschoolers are doing. Really interesting. A research project students did in Virginia. They basically, you know, the historical markers you pass by on the highway that you rarely go over and read? Well, they researched them. They went out. They geolocated them. They tied them to a Google map. They wrote up a whole historical atlas of all these markers in Virginia. And there's a ton of them because, you know, the Civil War was kind of big. This college actually crafted a whole website, basically the portal to their college. This is done in WordPress, and it's definitely not your standard out-of-the-box template. This organization, Australia, runs these live synchronous events through this platform called Illuminate, and they sort of use WordPress to sort of promote their shows and sort of summarize and link to the archive recordings. ChickSpeak is sort of a website design for women at college to sort of, you know, help them deal with some of the issues that young women have to do at college. It's It doesn't even look like WordPress, but you know what I do is I look at the source code and I find, oh, they have a theme in WP-content. I know it's a WordPress site. Anyhow, student showcase for ESL, library sort of resource. This is a librarian somewhere. She's kind of keeping track of the best stuff for school librarians. Some people doing stuff in Second Life. There's tons of Second Life blogs. A master's student, sort of as he's working on his thesis, he's publishing either what he's researching or what he's writing about. Blogs are able to get you feedback. This is supporting a project on the Civil War. Am I going fast enough for you guys? this is a college organization. Any organization, a blog is a very reasonable thing to use to sort of publish what you're doing. Has a calendar, automatically archives your stuff. It's searchable. A lot of the technology departments within universities may use a blog to run their website. Because people who work in these technology departments, they're really good at technology. They're really bad at web design. And most of these sites are really atrocious, so WordPress is a good alternative for them. Excuse me if that speaks to anybody in the room here. Hong Kong University of Science and Technology, they're using a WordPress as a front end to be a search for their library catalog. I don't know exactly how it works, but it's an interesting application. So there's some interesting tools that people are developing for educators in WordPress. Are you here, Greg? Yeah, hey. I just found this, ScholarPress. They're basically developing specific plugins that are interest to educators. So there's one that kind of provides some of the functionality in these really grotesque, extremely expensive, horrible systems called course management systems. Blackboard, right on. This is basically going to provide some of the tools you might want to have in a course management system without the overhead of a course management system. Is that right? Of course not. And then also this really cool one basically it connects content you publish in WordPress and puts it out as a Facebook application. So automatically, if you put your course content in WordPress, you can actually have it more or less syndicated in Facebook where all your students are. And that makes a lot of sense. So that's where those ones. This is a This is a fabulous plugin. This guy emailed and said, and we're developing this plugin for WordPress. And what it does, there's this organization called Donors Choose. And what happens is there's a lot of teachers out there, especially in city schools, who don't have the resources to do the kind of lessons that they want to do. They don't have the books or the little pieces of technology they might want to use. So teachers say, this is the activity I want to do. This is what I need. I need about $300 to do this. People who have money to donate go to the site and they look for interesting projects. And they do this matching thing. And you can contribute money to a school that does a project that's interesting to you. So this guy named Joe, who I met at the Northern Voice Conference, emailed me and said, we're doing this plugin that will connect the blog post, and it will sort of do an analysis of the text of your blog post, and it'll link to three projects. And there's about 12,000 lessons in this Donors Choose database. And he said, would you try it out on your blog? And I said, yeah, but I don't really write about things that might be relevant. So I tried it because, I'll try almost anything on my blog. And I wrote an entry about Moo cards because I just ordered them and I was all excited about it. Who has Moo cards, man? Aren't they the greatest? I just like ordering them because it's a fun process. So I wrote this thing about Moo cards and I looked at the three posts that came up. And from the title, they didn't sound relevant. But when I went in and read what the teachers wanted to do, there was one who wanted some books where Moo was in the title. And the second one, interesting, was from a teacher in Arizona where I live. And she wanted to do some things to stimulate her students to read by having them look at classic books, like Where the Wild Things Are. That was my favorite book as a kid. And then she also wanted to use this great book called Clickety Clack Moo. Oh, yeah. Isn't that awesome? And I just bought that in Philadelphia for myself. So I got hooked on that. I donated to her project. And so Donors Choose is an amazing resource. And basically, this possibly related classroom projects will automatically link to three of the projects within your blog post, the projects we're supporting. A lot of people are building interesting educational applications on top of WordPress. Lyceum is sort of like a WordPress multi-user platform for educators. I think it has a couple other resources built on top of it. I mentioned CommentPress. Again, it's from this Institute for Future of the Book. It's just a template, but it really does a fabulous thing for online publishing. It's a new project. It's not quite out yet from University of British Columbia. They're using WordPress to publish this website about students. Students are using a lot of media, okay? And what they're aware of is that students always don't always do it responsibly. You know, there's copyright, there's the issues of, you know, what students put about themselves on the website. So this is going to be some sort of website where students sort of are able to share the media they might want to use and sort of learn whether it's appropriate or appropriate or not. So interesting resource. This site called Hitchhiker, there's a lot of educational conferences that go on. And what happens is people go there and they say, hey, let's tag all the stuff, you know, WordPress, you know, WordCamp 08. This is a site that aggregates for conferences that educators go to, Flickr images, blog posts, etc. So if you're running a conference or going to a conference and you want people to use a common tag, you sort of post it here and it aggregates all the stuff that's posted with that tag into one site. So interesting site for educators. And wow, I have like 1 minute left. David Wiley is an educator now at Brigham Young University. He does a lot of stuff with OpenCourseWare. He did this thing where he used WordPress as sort of a template. And this is more or less sucking in automatically all this content from a giant database known as OpenCourseWare, which is the thing that MIT started, where they're basically sharing classroom resources for free online. He did this hook where all that content is just sucked right into a WordPress site and becomes a nice-looking website for a class from all this external data. So that was like around a tiny bit of the world of education in about 20 minutes. There's a lot more out there, and I'm going to stop.